Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Beautiful fall morning, even if fall doesn't technically start till tomorrow. I call it a fall morning. I've chosen to look briefly this morning at finding satisfaction and contentment in God. You know, we live in a world that militates against us finding satisfaction and contentment in both our practical everyday lives as well as our spiritual lives. And we're bombarded with messages that are designed to make us feel compelled to purchase or to pursue something that is guaranteed to make us feel like we have arrived or that our needs are met or that we'll be well thought of or fill in the blank. But I believe that we need to take a step back and intentionally ask ourselves some honest questions on a regular basis to counter that push and pressure of the world around us and in how we what we find satisfaction, contentment in. So some questions that have been helpful for me, and I invite you to think about as well in this regard. And I won't be answering each of these questions individually, of course, but rather invite you to ask God to search your heart. What do I find my contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment in? What do I hunger and thirst for? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thirdly, what is enough in our material lives, the tangible things? What are my appetites? What should my appetites be? What or who controls my thoughts, ideas, and actions? What is most of my time consumed with? What is most of my mental space consumed with? Am I finding satisfaction and contentment in God and in His Word? Am I pursuing Him wholeheartedly? I think we need to ask these questions because we become what we consume. What we take in shapes us and our outlook and our perspective on life. And this includes the conversations we have, the friendships that we cultivate, the books we read, the music we listen to, and more. These things are not neutral. They will bend us one direction or another. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to 1 Timothy and see what Paul has to say about contentment and how we can reach what God wants for us in this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like to read most of the chapter here, and obviously, again, we're not going to look at each individual verse here. I'd like to lift out a few things that I think can be helpful for us together this morning. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 19. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I believe verses 4 and 5 describe a person who has not found satisfaction and contentment in God. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw. I think that describes someone who is not finding this contentment in the Lord. And it's actually it tells us as well to withdraw from someone like that, because they will pull us in their direction. Verse 6 through 8 is the heart of contentment, but godliness with contentment. True contentment will come from a godly life. We have brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's pretty basic, food and raiment. And as I mentioned with the advertising world that wants to convince us that we need a lot of things that we don't really need, this brings it back to the basics of life. What does feed satisfaction and contentment in God? I believe that Paul illustrates that or brings that out in verses 17 through 19. Or excuse me, 11 and 12 first. But thou, O man of God, flee these things he was talking about prior, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Following after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, those are the things that will feed a contentment in God, a rest in God. But it's not something that will simply happen by default. Paul says in verse 12, it's a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. We have to make deliberate decisions and choices in our pursuit of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verses 17 through 19 also speak to this. The things that can help us find satisfaction and contentment in God. Rather than trusting uncertain riches, he says, rather trust in the living God, who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And also refers to being rich in good works, and ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So that we can lay hold on eternal life, in verse 19. I continue to be challenged by the quote that I came across some time ago by John Piper, when he said, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. And I continue to mull that I think of part of what he is saying here is that our level of satisfaction in God will spill out to others. It will communicate to others. Our values are communicated to others as the more satisfied we become in God and his all-sufficiency, the more God can be glorified in our lives. Referring back to those initial questions at the beginning, where do I find my contentment, satisfaction, and fulfillment? What do I hunger and thirst for? What is enough in our material lives? What are my appetites? What should my appetites be? What or who controls my thoughts, ideas, and actions? What is most of my time consumed with? What is most of my mental space consumed with? Am I finding satisfaction and contentment in God and in his word? And am I pursuing him wholeheartedly? I invite you to think about those things as I do as well. The link that I would like to make to today's Sunday school lesson in Peter is, Peter's talking about false teachers and false doctrine and to be aware of that. And the link that I would like to make with that is that I believe that the more, as we become satisfied and content and fulfilled in God and in his truth, the less likely we are to chase after those false doctrines and those false teaching that he's warning us about. The more intimately we become accustomed and in tune with his word, the quicker we can note when we come across a false teaching or a false doctrine. I'd like to close with what Paul says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. It's an encouraging passage to me. It's Paul's desire for the Ephesians, and I believe for us as well, he wants them to find their fulfillment and contentment in God. And I love the way he wants what he describes in this passage and how he wants them to find that in God. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's kneel in prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can find true fulfillment, true contentment in you, in your word, and in a walk with you. And Lord, it's our desire this morning to be pushed towards you in our walk with you in this service. And I pray that you would accomplish your purposes now and in the Sunday school lesson and in the message as Brother Julian shares and preaches the word to us. Lord, I pray that we would be able to turn our eyes away from the world around us and dig deep into your word, finding our fulfillment and satisfaction there. Lord, we thank you that that you have said that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that power is you. That is your power, the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we invite you to be present in that way in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.